Well, good morning to you all. I'm going to ask you if you have a Bible to go ahead and take it and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to begin reading there in just a few moments. While you're turning there, I just want to take a minute to say thank you to all of you who are here today. And if you're visiting with us, we are especially grateful for you. If you're coming from some other place or if you're a visitor from this community, we want you to know that we care about Jesus here. We care about God's word here, and it is our goal to make sure we spread the gospel and promote his kingdom as much as we possibly can. And so if there's something that you need, if there's a question that you have, or if you are seeking to serve Jesus with your life and you're not sure how, please reach out and ask somebody here. We'd be glad to show you how to find hope and salvation in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Appearances matter. If you're anything like me, which I'm sure you are, you will spend countless hours of your life standing in front of a mirror, fixing yourself, adjusting yourself, checking yourself, because appearances matter. We trim and pluck and straighten. We spend thousands of dollars on clothing and shoes and hair product and hairstyling tools because appearances matter. We have mirrors in our homes in probably every room. You should go home and see just how many mirrors you have in your house today. And we also have mirrors in every single public place we go to because appearances matter. We pay hairdressers and barbers and beauticians and cosmetologists, schools and other organizations, even the New York Yankees have dress codes because appearances matter. And some of that, to be fair, is just the vanity of man, putting way too much emphasis on what we look like and way too much value on what the outer appearance looks like. But in another sense, and in another way, outward appearance really does matter. Because the truth is, outward appearance typically reveals a lot about the inner man. Yes, it is true that appearances can be deceiving. Sometimes people aren't what you think they would be based on how they're dressed. But most of the time, the way somebody dresses, the way they present themselves, it tells you a lot about who they are, or it can tell you a lot about who they are. Think about the way you look at other people. Aren't you able to make some assumptions about who they are or what their personality may be like based on how they dress? Look at yourself in the mirror, and you can see that there's something you can learn about someone based on their outward appearance. Appearances matter because outward appearance reveals the inner man. That's also why God cares about how we dress. It's kind of funny. The way we tiptoe around the subject of modesty, it might actually lead someone to conclude or lead someone to believe that God really hasn't said anything about how we dress or what our outward appearance looks like, but that's obviously undeniably true. He cares. God has an opinion about what we wear and how we look. And we see that in 1 Timothy 2, beginning in verse 9. There, the Bible says this: "Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women, making a claim to godliness." Paul tells Timothy, you need to teach these people in your church, these women in your church, that it matters what they look like. It matters how we dress. Because ultimately, your outward appearance reveals a lot about your inner man. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to talk to you a little bit about how God wants us to dress, because the outward appearance reveals a lot about the inner man. Now, before we dig into this and really talk about this, there are a few things that I want to say just to make sure we clear up some misconceptions, because I think whenever we talk about the subject of what we wear and the whole subject of modesty, I think we bring some misconceptions to the table, and I think if we're gonna get the most out of this passage, then we have to get rid of those right away from the very beginning. And so here's some modesty misconceptions that I think many of us carry. The first one is this: I want to make sure that you understand this morning that modesty is not only about lust and sexual attraction. Modesty is not only about lust and sexual attraction. The truth is, whenever we usually talk about modesty in a teen Devo or a teen weekend or somewhere at some FC camp somewhere, we usually talk about that in one particular way. We talk about what women wear and whether or not it covers everything that it needs to cover. And you might think that that's all that modesty is about based on the fact that that's pretty much all we usually talk about. The truth is, that may actually be the most important part of the conversation for our society and for our culture, but I want you to understand that's not all that modesty is about. That's not what modesty is about in 1 Timothy chapter 2. That's not about revealing clothing. That's not about lust and sexual attraction. That's about wealth and showing off your wealth. Modesty is not just about lust and sexual attraction. And let me add to that this second point. Modesty is not only about our clothing choices. We typically look at modesty in terms of physical things. We think about shapes and figures, kneecaps and shoulders. But I want you to understand that the issue of modesty goes way deeper than just the clothes you pick out. In fact, the words that Paul uses here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, he doesn't in this passage give us a cubit. He doesn't give us cubit lengths for how long things need to be, right? Instead, he uses words like modesty and discreetly to talk about not what our outward appearance looks like physically, but what's going on inside of our hearts. Yes, modesty and how we feel on the inside, it is revealed on the outside, and it should lead to us covering certain things and dressing in a certain way, but it all starts inside of us. Modesty is about an attitude of the heart. And for that reason, I believe modesty should be dealt with from the inside out rather than the other way around. I want you to know this morning, even though the title does say a dress code for disciples, that I am not here to force feed you some kind of Christian uniform, right? I'm not here to tell you, hey, everything has to be this long, everything has to cover this much, and everything can't go past this dollar amount or something like that. I'm not here to tell you physical restrictions on what you need to wear. And there are two reasons for that. First of all, because as a preacher, I want to be very careful that I do not bind things that God has not bound. I am not here to give you rules that God has not given you. But secondly, because modesty is a heart issue, because it is far more about attitude, I believe it makes a whole lot more sense to work from the inside out. I believe it makes a whole lot more sense to think about modesty in terms of what our attitude is and what our motivations are, rather than just force-feeding somebody some kind of Christian uniform. And so I believe that modesty should be dealt with from the inside out, and that's what we're going to do this morning. Outward appearance reveals the inner man. And so if we really want to deal with the subject of modesty, then we have to start with the inner man. And so my goal this morning, again, is not to give you some list of clothing restrictions. Instead, what I want to give you is a dress code for your heart. I want to give you a set of rules for your heart to follow that should guide your decisions when you decide what you're going to put on and how you're going to present yourself to the world. I want to give you a dress code for your heart. So with that being said, let me tell you what I believe should be the dress code for the disciples of Jesus Christ. The first one is this. I want you to know that a disciple's clothing should reveal that they have a heart of modesty. We see in 1 Timothy 2, verse 9, that's the first word that Paul uses when he describes how we should dress. He says, "Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair or in gold or pearls or costly garments." Paul says that people should dress modestly. The word there for modest used to be an English word that we no longer use, and it's a shame because it's a really, really great word. It's one of those old King James words that you might see. It's actually the word shamefastness, which is an awesome word, and it's a shame, again, pun intended, that we don't use that word anymore. But that's the word. And that word means to have a sense of shame or to be bashful in some sense. And so what Paul is really telling us here is that when we put on clothes, we need to look like we are bashful, right? We need to look like that guy up there. He's pretty well dressed, right? Everything's covered. He's got the long beard too. That should work. The word modest comes from the word moderate. And that ultimately is the idea. That modest people are people who have a moderate opinion of themselves. They are people who are humble and who are restrained by a sense of what is proper. They are humble people, not people who are showy and boastful, not people who are trying to get everybody to look at them, not people who are trying to turn heads, but people who are humble and restrained and even in a sense bashful about what they wear. Modest people are not people who are trying to get everyone to look at them. They're people who would be a little embarrassed if everybody was looking at them. And Paul says that's the kind of attitude you need to have when you decide what you're going to wear. You need to be modest, humble, even bashful in a sense. And if you think about it, when we talk about immodesty, it's actually the exact opposite of that. Immodesty is an attitude of the heart that wants to be seen. It wants to be noticed. It wants to be praised. It wants to turn heads. It wants everyone to see what it is and how beautiful it is and how amazing it is. That's the attitude of immodesty. And that presents in several different ways, whether I'm showing off how wealthy I am, whether I'm showing off how physically fit I am, or whether I'm showing off how sexually attractive I am. That's the attitude of immodesty. I want you to see me. Aren't I amazing? And so Paul says that our hearts need to be ruled by modest attitudes. I want to reiterate here that Paul is not condemning any specific item of clothing. He is not saying that it is wrong to wear fine clothes or jewelry or pearls. He's not saying that. What he's saying is deeper than that. He's saying you need to check your motivations when you put stuff on. You need to ask yourself the question, what is my goal when I wear this? When you decide what you're going to wear to the beach, what is your goal? When you decide what you're going to wear on your date, what is your goal? And it extends beyond just the stuff that we put on. Maybe it even extends to social media. When you decide what kind of pictures you're going to take, what kind of pictures you're going to post, and what kind of poses you're going to do in those pictures, what is your goal? What is your aim? Are you trying to turn heads? Are you trying to get the world to see how sexually attractive you are? Are you trying to get other people to notice how much money you make or how much time you spend in the gym? What is your goal? Our hearts should be ruled by humility, moderation, modesty. Outward appearance reveals the inner man, and so that's how it is. That's what a disciple's clothing should reveal, that we deep down have a modest heart, that we are not showy and boastful. Let me say this secondly. That a disciple's clothing should also reveal a heart of discretion. Paul says there in 1 Timothy 2, verse 9, likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly. The word discreetly comes from the word discretion, and that word means to exercise good and thorough judgment. And that's really the crux of what discretion and discreet dress means. Your clothing should reveal that you are a thoughtful person who exercises good judgment. You know, there are several things that other people should be able to know about you, or at least assume about you, based on what you look like on the outside. Several assumptions that people should be able to make. Things like, when somebody looks at how you dress, they should understand that you know clothing is a big deal. When somebody looks at how you dress, they should know that you know that your clothing has an effect on other people. They should know that you care about the effect that your clothing has on other people. Your clothing should tell other people that you thought through what you decided to wear and that you were willing to exercise some restraint. Our clothing should reveal that we have a heart of discretion, that we are people who think things through and make good choices. To be honest, I think sometimes we can be a little judgmental about what other people's motives are for wearing the things they wear. Sometimes we look at other people and we say, they're just wearing that because they want to flaunt their wealth. They're just wearing that because they want to get all the attention from all the men. They just wear that because they want to brag and they want to boast. And the truth is, sometimes that's true. Sometimes people are immodest. They are showy and boastful. But sometimes the problem is a problem of discretion. In other words, the person isn't trying to show off. They just haven't thought it through. They haven't thought about what effect their clothing might have on other people, what assumptions other people might make based on what they wear. You know, the truth is that some people exercise in certain outfits for the sake of athletic performance. It's not about showing off. And some people wear minimal clothing to the beach for the sake of comfort. It's not about boasting. But I want you to understand something, that just because you're showing off doesn't mean it's right. And just because you're not out there saying, I want to show everybody, I want to boast about how beautiful I am or how fit I am or how much money I make, just because you're not boasting doesn't mean you're wearing what God wants you to wear. Because God says, I want you to be modest and I also want you to be discreet. I want you to think deeply about how your clothing affects other people. This actually plays out in a really interesting way in 1 Timothy. If you're in 1 Timothy, go ahead and go over to chapter 6. Because I think there's an important connection that we don't often make between 1 Timothy 2 and 1 Timothy chapter 6. So we read that passage in chapter 2 where he talks about how women need to make sure they're not showing off how wealthy they are with all these fine clothes and jewels and pearls and all this stuff. But notice this very important passage at the end of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6. It says, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves through with many griefs. And so in that passage, Paul talks about how important it is for a Christian to practice contentment, for somebody to not desire to get rich. Now think about what it's like to worship at that church. Think about the contrast between the women in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and the message of 1 Timothy chapter 6. Imagine that you go to church and you hear messages like that from your preacher and from your pulpit. Messages that tell you, hey, you need to be content with what you have. Messages that say, hey, physical things don't matter. It's all going to get burnt up anyway. It's like the flowering grass. It's going to be here for a minute and gone the next. Messages that tell you, you need to store up treasures in heaven and not put so much focus and value on what the physical things here on this earth. And yet, all the rich people you go to church with, what do they do every Sunday? They parade their riches in front of you, showing off how much wealth they have. Do you see how inconsistent that is? The gospel says be content, but your brothers and sisters, by their actions, by their dress, they say, be discontent. You should want to be like me. It's important to understand that the way they dressed, it neutralized, it nullified the message of the gospel. And I want you to understand that your clothing can do the same. If we are not careful, the clothes that we wear can generate jealousy and envy and discontentment in the hearts of our brothers and sisters. If we are not careful, then what we decide to wear, it can generate lust and sensuality and sexual immorality in the hearts of our brothers and sisters. Our choices about what we wear, it can push and influence the people we love and worship with to focus on the wrong things and take their eyes off Jesus. And I want to ask you this morning if you care about that. Does that matter to you? Do you understand the kind of effect that your clothing can have on other people? And are you willing to restrain yourself for the sake of your brothers and sisters? It's important for us to take to heart the warning of Jesus in Luke 17. Remember what he says there. He said to his disciples, "It is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to him through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he would cause one of these little ones to stumble." Do you know what that passage means? Do you know that how that relates to our context when it comes to how we dress? What that means is, look, when it comes to my envy, when it comes to my discontentment, when it comes to my jealousy, when it comes to my lust, that is my responsibility. And if I fail in those areas, that's on me. But you'd better not be the reason I do. Our clothing, what we put on, it has an effect on people. And our outward appearance should demonstrate that we understand that and we care about that. And let me say this finally, that a disciple's clothing should promote godliness. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 10, he follows up verse 9 by saying, I'm sorry, I put both verses up there. "Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair or in gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness." Again, I want you to appreciate that Paul is not condemning specific items of clothing. He's not saying it's wrong to have costly garments or to have gold or pearls. That wasn't their problem. Their problem wasn't that they owned these things. The problem was a problem of emphasis. The problem was they cared more about being seen as wealthy than they did about being seen as godly. And I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, that our goal, when we decide what we're going to put on, our goal should be in every possible way to help other people see Jesus, to help other people see godliness, to help people understand that we are spiritual people. And we ought to never make sure that we wear anything or put anything on that could distract from that or get in the way of that. And so I ask you this morning, what message does your clothing send? Not just when you come here on Sunday morning, but whenever you go out into the world, what message do you send by what you put on? You know, some people, when they put on clothes, what their choices say is, before anything else, I want you to notice and understand how rich and wealthy and prosperous I am. There are some people who, when they put their clothes on, when they decide what they're going to wear, the thing they're obviously telling the world is, I want you to know just how physically fit I am. I want you to know how much time I spend at the gym, how strong I am, and how healthy I am. And we're going to wear clothes that show exactly that. And sometimes people put on clothes, and the thing they want to send is, the message they want to send is, more than anything else, the first thing I want you to know about me is that I am extremely sexually attractive, and I'm going to wear clothes that accentuate that fact. A disciple's clothing is meant to produce, promote godliness. And it should do nothing to diminish or distract from our efforts to show the world that we are godly. My clothes need to tell the world that there is more to life than money. There is more to life than physical health. There is more to life than a bunch of likes on social media. There is more to life than sexual attractiveness. My clothes should send that message, or at least should never distract from it. A disciple's clothing should promote godliness. I think it's funny to consider, when you think about some of the most important men in the Bible, we do get a little insight into how they dressed and what they wear. So when you think about the prophet Elijah, we're told that he wore a hairy cloak, which according to my study, which may be totally wrong, it means it was a rough cloak, meaning it wasn't fine, it wasn't nice, it wasn't luxurious, right? And so in other words, he wears a cloak that signifies that he's poor, and he doesn't mind looking poor. And then when he ascends into heaven, Elisha follows behind him. And what does he do? He takes up his mantle and he wears the same poverty, hairy cloak that his forerunner wore and his mentor wore. And so Elisha doesn't mind being seen as poor, impoverished, or rough either. In the New Testament, we read about John the Baptist, and we know what he wore as well, right? He wore a cloak of camel's hair, which again, I think is meant to signify the same thing Elijah and Elisha's cloak was meant to signify. He was poor. He wasn't wealthy. He wasn't too concerned with looking luxurious every single day. And if the cloak didn't do it, then the eating the wild locust certainly did. And we also know what Jesus wore. Now, admittedly, Jesus did have a pretty nice tunic. It was so nice that the soldiers wouldn't rip it. They gambled over it instead of tearing it. But it's also true that Jesus' attire would have been strikingly plain to be worn by the very Son of God. It would have been strikingly plain compared to the officials and rulers and religious leaders of his day. And all of that leads me to believe that these wonderful, important men, I wonder if they dressed in simple ways because they wanted people to focus on something other than their clothes. They wanted to promote a message of spirituality and godliness, not how attractive they were or how rich they were or how healthy they were. And the same should be true for us, that every part of our life should be calibrated to promote the kingdom and to promote godliness. And we are supposed to be people, even down to our physical appearance, who are doing everything we can to reflect the light of Christ into this world. That's what it means to be a disciple, that we are followers after him. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 10 tells us that we are supposed to be a people who are clothed with not gold or pearls or costly garments, but by means of good works. We are supposed to be clothed with people, clothed as people. That's hard to say. We are supposed to be clothed as people in a way that is fitting for people who are promoting godliness. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3, Peter says, your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. We are supposed to be clothed with the character of Christ, as Paul will say in Colossians 3 and verse 12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, let us put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. When we consider how we're going to dress, we ought to make it our goal in every way to promote godliness, or at least to not wear anything or do anything or post anything or buy anything that would distract from our desire to reflect Jesus into this world. And so that is, my brothers and sisters, what I believe should be our dress code as disciples. Our clothing should reveal a heart of modesty, that we are not showy and boastful, but that we are humble. Our clothing should reveal a heart of discretion, that we understand that we have an effect on people by what we wear and that we care about that. And ultimately, our clothing should promote a message of spirituality and godliness, that there is more to this life than how much money you would make or how attractive you are or how healthy you are. At the end of this lesson, I just wanted to put a few questions on this board that I think may help us guide our decisions a little bit more. Here's some good questions to ask when you decide what to put on. Is this moderate and restrained? Does this exhibit self-control? Have I thought this all the way through? Can this easily lead to coveting and jealousy? And maybe the most important question of all, who is this about? Is this about me promoting myself? Or is this about me promoting my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and doing everything I can to reflect his light into this world? Outward appearance reveals the inner man. What does your outward appearance say about you? I want you to consider as we close that appearances matter. They obviously matter on earth, but we also know that they matter in heaven. When Paul writes to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 3, he talks not about physical clothing, but he talks about spiritual clothing. And he says this in Galatians 3 and verse 27. He says, for all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. And those who have been baptized in water for the remission of their sins in the name of Jesus Christ, what they have done is they have contacted the blood of Jesus. They have been redeemed from their sins because they have obeyed God's command to be baptized in water to have our sins removed. And once those sins are removed, once we are clothed with Christ in baptism, on that day of judgment, we are able to appear finally righteous before the throne of God. I want you to understand this morning that that's what's required. That if you want to be clothed with the righteousness of Christ on the day of judgment, then you must give your life to Him. You must, believing in Him, repent of your sins and be baptized in water in His name for the forgiveness of those sins. And having been baptized in water, you will be clothed with Christ and you will get to live the rest of your life with the hope of heaven. If we can help you do that or help you with anything else, we invite you to come to the front while we stand and while we sing.